This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. We had a rip-roaring first hour. If you missed any of that, including the crappiest country in the world championship, you're going to have to go download the podcast, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We don't have any time for any more of that right now. In fact, we don't even have any time for politics. Now, I should remember, I have to keep this in mind. This is something that's easy to forget. Not everybody has been listening for the 7 years we've been on the air. In fact, most have not. People come along relatively recently. So I need to explain something about me before I derail the show. I love history. To be honest with you, it's my favorite thing in the world. I love it. It is what I do in my spare time. I read history books. I gobble up all the history information I can. You want to hear the biggest old man Jesse thing in the world? I love museums. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. I'm a museum guy. And occasionally on the Jesse Kelly Show, I try to do it every 3 or 4 weeks, I would say. We take time. And I tell a history story about some sort of historical event, battle, expedition of some kind, whatever happens to interest me. And yeah, we take requests for them and things like that, but I love it. I enjoy it. If you and me could right all the wrongs in this country, get rid of all these dirty commies, I'd probably do history every single day. That's how much I genuinely enjoy it. I'd quit and go just start a history podcast, but we got work to do. Now, again, this is just in case you are new. I do not always fit it all in one show. The show is 3 hours long. It depends on the history tale. I've had these things stretch out 3 or 4 days. I am just going to go ahead and tell you right now, the chances I'm able to finish this entire thing tonight are, it's almost zero. It's probably zero. We'll come back and do some more politics next hour. There's just so much background I want to go into. And then the siege itself, it's a little more complicated than some other things we've done. I have a lot of reasons, but it's going to take a little bit. And I'm going to talk history. And if you don't like it, change the channel. I'll see you next hour or tomorrow. I love it. Now, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you are manning a cannon. And obviously, you are firing cannonballs at the other side. And the other side is firing cannonballs back at you. Okay, not an ideal situation, obviously. A little bit frightening. Only you see their cannons go off one day, and you're thinking, uh-oh, I better take cover. There's a cannonball coming my way. Only after you duck down, you hear the cannonball land, and it doesn't sound like the other cannonballs at all. In fact, it made a kind of funny splat. So you poke your head up to see what the problem is, and you find out they didn't fire a cannonball this time. They fired your best friend's head at you. We are about to talk about one of the nastiest sieges and most important sieges in human history. Honestly, you can say this siege probably affects the world we live in today. And the world we live in today possibly would have been radically different. What time period are we in? Now, the Siege of Malta is in the 1500s. And I'm about to give a bunch of background on the two different sides, so just hang with me for a moment. But it's important to understand just some basics about the technology and the world we live in the 1500s. All right, so this is post Christopher Columbus. You got that, 1492 and all that. This is the era where there still have sailing ships. Ships still have sails in them, so there's no engines and things like that. But it's not all bows and arrows and swords. However, there are crossbows, bows and arrows, and swords, and they are employed a lot on the battlefield. There are cannons, as I just pointed out. Every major country will have cannons at their disposal, and they have, I'm going to call them guns, muskets, you know, old single shot things, but they are the most basic thing you have ever seen. Gigantic, heavy, cumbersome, not very accurate at all. You're not going to square up against a guy who's 200 yards away and have a snowball's chance in you know where of hitting him with these things. So yes, gunpowder and shot and those things, they do matter. It is important, but I wanted you to understand we're still talking swords here, okay? Swords, cannons, old guns. Now, before we get to Malta, I'm going to talk about two different sides. Jerusalem. We're going to go way, 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 way back. This is about the year 1000. And in fact, very close to being exactly 1,000 years ago, Jerusalem. You are well aware, Jerusalem is considered a holy land for the three largest religions on the planet: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. That is the case today. If you go to Jerusalem today, you will see all three represented there, and it was very much the case back in this era. And the Muslims and the Christians both have laid claim to it. They want it to be theirs, and they're fighting over it. This is the era of what is known as the Crusades. I'm not going to do a bunch of Crusades history, but you've heard of a pilgrimage, right? You at least understand what a pilgrimage is. Christians at this time will make pilgrimages in the same way you would do today. I guess you could argue what we did as a show a couple years ago was a pilgrimage. You are going to visit the holy sites of what you believe. Muslims make pilgrimages there as well. Christians would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. While there, and remember, there's all kinds of fighting going on and ugly things, an order has been started. What is an order exactly? I want you to think of the Knights of Columbus. You've heard of the Knights of Columbus. My father-in-law is a member of the Knights of Columbus. What do they do? Well, they serve the community in various ways. They'll give back. They do fish fries. It's an order. Orders were a little different back then. Now, they did a lot of that as well, but they could be orders of service. They could be military orders. An order begins in Jerusalem in the year 1000, and it is known as the Knights of St. John, or the Knights Hospitaller, or the Knights Hospitaller, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I'm going to tell you right now, I picked the one that I thought was the coolest sounding, and so it's the one I'm sticking with. The Knights of St. John is the one I'm sticking with, but Knights Hospitaller or Hospitaller is a very, very common way. It's an order. It was not a military order when it began. You know the name, Hospitaller, Hospitaller, depending on your accent. It was a hospital. They started a hospital in Jerusalem. They did not only treat Christians or Jews or Muslims. All were welcome. They started a hospital there. Hospitals, we are used to hospitals being everywhere today. Even if you're in a rural area, there are hospitals 20, 30 minutes from you. If you're in an urban area, you're probably 10 minutes from a hospital. That is not the case in the ancient world. They started a hospital to care for the sick. But like I said, this was an era where there was quite a bit of, it still is, but there was quite a bit of controversy over this chunk of ground, holy to the Muslims, holy to the Christians. The Jews are not going to, they're not going to play a major role in our story here, so we're going to set them aside right now. And they were fighting over it. The Christians and the Muslims were fighting over it. And if you were a Christian making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, remember, you're not flying in on United. You have to walk, ride a horse, ride a camel, and it was a dangerous affair. We'll continue in a moment. Before we continue, think for a moment. Think how sore you'd be after riding on a camel for that long. And you don't have relief factor. Just wrap your mind around the chronic daily pain you would have if you rode a camel all the time with no relief factor. Think about the good relief factor could have done back then. But sadly, they weren't around. They are, however, around for you. Relief factor has been taking away people's pain. How many? Did you know over a million people have already tried it? Over a million people. Do you know how many people order relief factor again after they get their first 3 weeks of it? Over 70%, or almost 70%. It's drug-free. This is for the daily pain that nags at you. Your back, your elbow, your butt from riding on the camel, your neck. Let Relief Factor take the pain out of your life. They'll turn it down every day. They'll attack the inflammation. ReliefFactor.com is where you go. Less than a buck a day. $19.95 for 3 weeks of it. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, doing some history right now on the Siege of Malta. If you're just joining us, don't worry, you just missed a touch of background on one of our two sides. The Knights of St. John, or Knights Hospitaller, they start a hospital in Jerusalem around the year 1000, but Christians making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem at this time, they kept getting attacked. Attacked by robbers, attacked by Muslims. It was a problem. So the Knights, and I should pause real quick. Jewish producer Chris said something during the break about the Knights Templar. Those are very famous. This is not them. I wasn't insulting you, Chris, but a lot of people would think, are these the same Knights? The Knights of St. John were a Catholic order, very similar to the Knights Templar. These are not them. This is a separate group. All right. So they expand, and they go from being just a hospital, just giving medical care, to a military order. Now, they are a strict military order. They are funded by various sources, and they are well-trained. Very, very good fighters. Eventually, during those crusades, the Muslims are led by a man named Saladin. If you are a history buff at all, know anything about the Crusades, you will have heard of the name Saladin. Saladin was a famous Muslim general, very, very talented, and he won. It became his, and after he won, he took this military order of knights and he kicked them out. He kicked them out to a place called Rhodes. Now, we're going to pause for just a moment. The Knights of St. John are on a place called Rhodes. In case you're wondering where this is important for our story. Like I said, there's going to be a lot more background and location here to try to explain who's who and what's what and where we are. And I know you're listening, not looking at it. So the Mediterranean, you know about the Mediterranean. You are at least aware of it. That's where Greece and Italy and all the southern France, southern Spain, that's where all those things are. But Italy, southern Spain, southern France, that is the Western Mediterranean. The Eastern Mediterranean is Greece, and this is where Turkey is located. All right, so that's the Eastern Mediterranean. The Mediterranean has always, since boats have gotten onto the water, the Mediterranean has been prized choice territory. You want the Mediterranean to ship goods and men, and you want to be able to ship things to and fro. The Mediterranean is prime real estate, and it is still prime real estate to this day. You want to be able to own the waves, own the shores on those waves. By the way, I should note, Northern Africa, is this is all part of the Mediterranean. Now, that brings us to the Ottoman Empire. I'm not going to go into the whole background on the Ottoman Empire. We've done a bit of them before, and we'll probably do a bit of them again because they're a fascinating, powerful empire. They rose up, and they began to conquer the world around them. Very, very powerful. Very, very smart. Science heavy. Really sharp empire that was run in a really sharp way. And they are Muslim. What was Europe? Europe was Catholic / Christian. Honestly, during the era we're in, that's when Protestantism and the Catholics were starting to kill each other. We're not going to go into any of that. I'm going to dumb this down and just say Europe was Catholic at this time. Okay? Europe's Catholic. Europe's Christian or whatever. The Ottomans are Muslim. That may mean nothing to you. Maybe you have no belief system or whatever, but that is not at all important to our story. What is important to our story is it meant everything to both sides. For the Ottomans, as they rose up and they began to conquer really the Muslim world, they were conquering much of the Muslim world, pulling them under the Ottoman umbrella. They were selling themselves and viewed themselves as, we are the protectors of Islam. We are the ones who will spread Islam. We will protect the people of Islam. And for a very, very, very long time, the Ottomans saw themselves that way, and many people in the Islamic world saw themselves that way. Now, as the Ottoman Empire, this Islamic empire, was rising, Christian Europe, Catholic Europe, was afraid. And understandably so. It wasn't an ungrounded fear. The Ottoman Empire was spreading and conquering and spreading and conquering. And there was an event which we've done before. I'm not going to go into it. The Byzantine Empire, or the Eastern Roman Empire, depending, they would have called themselves Roman. They had Constantinople. It was really the center of Christianity at the time. And in the 1400s, the Ottoman Empire took the center of Christianity at this time. Whatever your belief system is, I want you to picture what you consider to be maybe your most holy or cherished place. Imagine it falling to what you consider to be your religious mortal enemy. The fall of Constantinople rocked and brought a whole lot of fear into Christian Europe. These Muslims, are they going to come kill us all? Are they going to come bring Islam and force it into all of Europe? They're so powerful. How do we stop them? So this happened in the 1400s. Now, something else had happened then. Remember I said the Knights of St. John were sent to Rhodes? We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, I'm going to talk about gold. People are buying it. Did you know that? Why do you think gold keeps hitting records? That shouldn't be possible. I thought everything was fine. Gold keeps hitting records because large financial institutions and nation states like China are buying as much as they can possibly get their hands on, because they know something. They know the financial system we have is shaky, to put it mildly. Just look at the debt situation. They know that when things go pop, when things go south, precious metals have been forever the only thing you can rely on. If I took you all the way back to this era we're talking about now, gold, silver would be wealth. And 1,000 years from now, it would be wealth. Let gold fortify your retirement account. Let Gold Co. get you at least a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. They took care of me. They'll take care of you. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. 855-817-GOLD or visit jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We're doing a little history on the siege of Malta, and I realize there have been a 1,000 of them, so we're talking about the one in 1565, okay, just to spoil it, but we're not quite there yet. The Knights of St. John get kicked out of Jerusalem when the Muslims conquer it, and they get sent to Rhodes. But they don't just sit around on Rhodes. They fortify Rhodes. Now, here's the important part. I just talked about the Ottoman Empire expanding and growing and expanding and growing. They are in the Eastern Mediterranean at this time. Rhodes is over there in Greece, in the Eastern Mediterranean. They attack Rhodes. The Ottoman Empire does. The Knights of St. John were not chumps, as we will continue to find out. They were hard as nails. And for them, this was a deeply religious conflict. They saw themselves as being the protectors of Christendom, the protectors of the Catholic Church, the protectors of people who believe in Jesus. In the same way, the Ottomans saw themselves as, you know, the sword of Islam, all those things. They attacked Rhodes. The knights fight so valiantly that the big cheese of the Ottoman Empire says, hey, by the way, his name's Suleiman. I probably should go ahead and name him. I try not to give you too many details and names, but Suleiman the Magnificent. I'm sure he nicknamed himself. Suleiman the Magnificent is so impressed by how valiant the knights fight. He does not wipe them all out when he defeats them at Rhodes. He says, you know, you guys fought like lions. I respect that. So you may go. He grants them clemency and safe passage for their bravery. So anyone he hadn't already killed, he says, you can go. Well, now you have the Knights of St. John, this religious order, and they don't have a home. So they are given a home by Christian Europe. Their home is a place known as Malta. Where is Malta? Here's where it is. You know, I told you there's an Eastern Mediterranean and a Western Mediterranean. Don't worry if you don't have it memorized. It's not important. There's an Eastern half and there's a Western half. You know Italy, that boot that comes down? And then there's that huge island, Sicily, that's right off the toe of that boot, right to the west of that boot. Right below Sicily, there is a, frankly, pretty desolate, crappy piece of rock called Malta. So when the Knights of St. John were given Malta, you should understand a couple things. This was not exactly a luxurious post, but they were people without a home at this time. And there were Maltese people on Malta who weren't necessarily given a choice in this whole thing. The Knights were given this place, and the Knights stepped in, and they made it their home. Now, I already told you the Ottomans were expanding. They were coming east, they were coming west towards Europe. They were moving from the east to the west. They were already taking over places like Hungary. Christian Europe is not only divided in fighting itself, they are deathly afraid of the Ottomans who are coming. The Ottomans, as they seize more and more control of the Mediterranean, they are taking over. I already told you how important the Mediterranean is today and was in yesteryear. They are taking over valuable sea lanes, and they're now getting stupid wealthy, shipping goods and services back and forth across the Mediterranean. So, you're a knight. You're in Malta. What do you do? Well, you're on an island. You're there to protect Europe. The Muslims are your sworn enemy. You need to build up the fortifications of the island and then get your butt on a boat, and you need to go make life very, very miserable for the Ottomans. And they do. The knights, essentially, they called them corsairs. You've ever heard that term, corsair? Corsair? You know what a corsair is? It's a pirate. It's a pirate when you don't want to call somebody a pirate. The Knights sail forth, and they start creating nightmares for the Ottomans. Raiding ships, raiding goods, kidnapping people. They are stealing, essentially. Stealing. Now, I already said Suleiman the Magnificent, big cheese of the Ottoman Empire, he had previously let the Ottomans go. He had previously let the Knights of St. John go. He had given them clemency. He was displeased, to put it mildly, to find out that the Knights of St. John, who he had let go, were now raiding his ships and making his life miserable. He thought that was completely out of line. And frankly, he probably has a pretty good point, but that's not important. What is important is this. Suleiman not only goes down to northern Africa and takes over the portion of northern Africa the Knights had, word gets back to the Knights. You see, this is every era is an era of intelligence gathering and spying. I already said the Ottoman Empire had taken over Constantinople. It's known today as Istanbul. They had taken over Constantinople. That was the capital of the Ottoman Empire. Word got back to the Knights on Malta that Suleiman the Magnificent was building a large fleet. The Knights, it didn't exactly take a genius to figure out what he was planning on doing with that fleet. They figured out he was coming. And they knew it was going to be large. They knew that he was going to be coming to take Malta from them. So now I have to do something. And I'm probably going to have to do this a couple times, but I try to make sure you can visualize what we're dealing with here. And this is probably the most complicated thing I will ever have you visualize, so I'm going to simplify it, okay? You know what Pac-Man looks like? Everybody knows what Pac-Man looks like. You got it, Pac-Man. If you don't know what Pac-Man looks like, I can't help you, okay? Pac-Man. I want you to picture Pac-Man, and his mouth is open to the right, all right? His mouth is open to the right. For simplicity purposes, this is going to be our Malta, okay? You have your Pac-Man pictured in your head? Now, Pac-Man, on his lower jaw, towards the back of his lower jaw, he has two teeth. They're close to each other. They're both coming out of his lower jaw. He has two teeth. You with me? There are four locations that are going to matter for the Siege of Malta. The Siege of Malta is not one gigantic fortress. It's a big, desolate, crappy island. It is four locations. There is one. Don't worry about memorizing all this. I'll keep covering it again. There's one on Pac-Man's nose, up by where his nose would be. This is going to be the site of a lot of nastiness. This is called the Fort of St. Elmo. Don't worry about memorizing the names. The teeth, down to the teeth. The teeth have names, which we'll get to. That's not important. I'll get to those in a little bit. Now, the fourth location is his tonsils. Way back in the back of his mouth. And again, I'm making this very simple. Mdina is what it's called. So you have his nose, two teeth, and his tonsils. Those are the four locations of the four fortifications on Malta. And the Ottomans are coming. And there's a lot of them. And the Knights have to get ready. We'll continue in a moment. Before we continue, I know that discussing things like swords and knights and cannons and conquest probably has you feeling pretty jazzed up and like a man. It's not going to make you feel as good as a male vitality stack will make you feel. A male vitality stack from Chalk will make you feel like $1 million. I'm not just talking about things that you can't really see, things like your tier levels, where although that's, you know, 20% increase in 90 days, I'm talking about your energy, your mind. How do you feel throughout the day? Are you out of gas all the time? Do you collapse into your couch right when you get home from work? Are you dying to get off your feet when you're making the kids dinner? Ladies, there's a female vitality stack for you. Natural herbal supplements. Men, there's a male vitality stack for you. Natural herbal supplements. Take it for 90 days. Your entire life is about to get better. Chalk.com/Jesse. CHOQ.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, as we go over the siege of Malta. So that was a little bit of the background. The Knights of St. John are digging in on Malta. They know the Ottoman Empire is coming with a massive invasion fleet. And so they begin to fortify the island. The four locations I already discussed, just for your reference in case you're interested, it is the Fort St. Elmo, Senglia, Burgo, and Mdina. Don't worry about those four locations. Don't worry about the names. Just know there are four locations. For now, we're going to focus on a couple different things. How are they planning on fighting this? What are the Ottomans bringing? First, the Knights of St. John on Malta, they understand there's very little chance for them to win without help. Now, I already said Europe, it was not a unified place then. It's not a unified place now. But back then, it was really, really not unified. The Knights were sending out essentially help wanted letters. They were reaching out to the Pope. They were reaching out to kings. Hey, I need troops. I need help. I need boats. That the Ottomans are coming. The Muslims are coming. Help. Please send help. They are not getting rejected, I should clarify, but everyone they're asking for help from, they're most definitely dragging their feet. Oh, hey, you need some help? Yeah, well, you know, I got to move some things around. We'll get on that at some point in time. Keep in mind, they're desperate. They need help now. What kind of numbers are we talking about here? About 700 knights. That number will be disputed no matter what source you read, but traditionally it's thought to be about 700 knights. There are some civilians on the island, as I pointed out, and there are some other troops, a few thousand, who aren't knights. Remember, the siege of Malta is normally, it's sold as 700 knights versus 30,000 Ottomans. The knights had some help, but the knights were most definitely the biggest, strongest, toughest. They were the leaders of this whole thing. So that's what they had. Now, I gave the game away a little. 30,000 Ottomans. They're crossing the sea. They have these gigantic galleys. Picture this. This is a galley is a big ship. 800 people on one ship. Even if you picture old sailing ships as large, that's amazingly large. They not only have sails, they have oars. Who mans the oars? Slaves. You know, remember, slavery, I know your history professor told you that America was the only country that ever participated in it. Nope, it has always existed, will always exist, it exists to this day as well. And some of the worst slavery I've ever read about are galley slaves. You are down in the bowels of a ship. It is nasty. It is smelly. Disease is everywhere. The work is absolutely brutal. So anyway, these huge ships are coming across the ocean. There are two different commanders on this ship. Before they even get to Malta, they are fighting with each other. They end up in a nice little squabble. Generals have egos too, so that's already a problem. But shouldn't be a big issue, right? Because they obviously outnumber the knights. There aren't that many of them. In case you're wondering, pause, what were they arguing about? Well, they argued about a lot, but one of the main things they were arguing about is, okay, we have these four locations on Malta. We have Pac-Man's nose, his tonsils, and the two teeth in his bottom jaw. What do we attack first? The guy who was in charge, the guy who won the argument, He wanted to attack Fort St. Elmo. He wanted to attack Pac-Man's nose. So they show up. They land their ships on there. And they start bombarding this fort. Now, maybe you think this fort is completely impregnable. Nothing could be further from the truth. This fort is not impressive at all. It is not. It is a fort, and the knights have known they are coming, so they're building it up, but this is not some gigantic impregnable fortress. The Ottomans land right around Pac-Man's, I'd say his forehead. They land their boats. They land their troops. They put all their cannons out there, and they start firing their cannons at Fort St. Elmo. While the cannons are firing, they are digging trenches. In case you're wondering, historically, this is one of the most common ways to take a fortified city. Not just tunnels, but trenches. How does this work? Here's an example of how trenches work. You obviously cannot just get in the ground with a shovel and start digging in a straight line towards a fort, because then they're going to take their cannons and their guns, and they're just going to shoot it down the trench and murder everybody. So you instead, you have to zigzag back and forth, essentially keeping the trench always as a wall between you and the guns that are on the fortification. Well, right away, we are seeing a problem the Ottomans are going to have. I already pointed out that Malta is crappy. It's windswept. It's a rock. We're not talking about a lush place. Before the Ottomans got there, the man in charge of the knights, it's the last name I'm going to give you, Dave Allette is his name. He is the top knight, Dave Allette. Yes, in case you're wondering, he is French. Don't hold that against him. Dave Allette, the man in charge of the knights, he goes and he finds all the houses, all the food, all the livestock around Malta, and he burns down the houses, takes down everything, takes the food, and brings all the stuff inside of the fortifications. A 30,000-man army from the Ottomans lands, and there's nothing for them to find to eat. They have to bring it all with them. Now we will pause right there, and we'll continue again tomorrow. Before we continue tomorrow, I want you to think about the most precious picture you have. I'm talking about a hard copy picture. What is it? Might be your wedding day, or your father, or your daughter, or your son. But there is one, isn't there? Maybe it's in a book. What are you going to do if a fire or a flood destroys it? What are you going to do when you open up that book one day and find out the humidity has destroyed it? Let Legacy Box preserve it for you forever. Legacy Box will preserve your memories forever. They take your VHS tapes, they take your hard copy pictures, and they hand digitize them, and they preserve them for you forever. And they have a huge sale going on right now. They'll send you a box. At least get the box while there's a sale. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.